And that's right, don't laugh at me. This here is Big Dot, better known as Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, with you on another Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt. We want to say welcome one, welcome all that's joined our program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'd be glad to hear your prayer requests, prayer praises, and all that good stuff tonight, because we do have, once again, Dr. Doug Quick with us again tonight. But just before we get him on, I do know we have Emily on the line, and who else do we have with us, Sister Ruth?
We always have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you, Sister Emily, of course, Brother Quick, and little old me.
Okay. Well, Emily, if you got any prayer requests, we're going to hear those just before we get Brother Quick on so that he'll be able to know how to pray as he opens the message tonight. Get your coffee, Emily.
Does a root beer count?
Yeah, it counts. Okay, got your root beer, then go ahead and give us any prayer requests you got.
For all our first responders, all the nursing homes and the patients and those, also be praying about the upcoming procedure I'm supposed to have next Wednesday.
All righty. Okay. And did you have any requests, Ruth?
Hey, Kim.
Yeah, just my fibromyalgia pain.
Okay. And go ahead, Em.
Hey. And you don't need to be picking on me tonight like you were yesterday, okay?
Oh, that's the most fun part. Yeah, she had a belated birthday from yesterday, and I just like hassling her, picking on her, saying she's 92.
Only if she's 51.
All right.
No,
all right, well, then we're going to turn this over to you, brother, quick.
Right either.
All right, but we're going to turn this over to you, brother, quick, so you could pray over these requests that we've had. And, of course, you know mine, still praying for the ministry with a bus and that kind of thing. And we're going to turn it over to you to open with prayer, cover these requests, and open up for your message and let you turn loose.
All right. Thank you, Brother Ken. This is Dr. Doug Quick, and my address is 1122 Church Street. That's Waycross, Georgia, here in the United States of America. And these requests that were just given, the Lord knows each one of them, and some of these are brand new to me, but that's all right. I can pray for them anyhow, and we just trust that the Lord knows how to answer them according to his own sweet will.
Yes, it's received in a train I didn't catch
everything that Emily said. The nursing homes, and she's got a procedure, I think, next week that she's going through. And so we'll just pray and ask the Lord to be with Emily. Our Father, thank you for these moments that you've given for us to be together. And thank you for this radio station that you've given to us to be able to preach on. I'm asking you just be with Brother Six Eyes and that you bless him really good. I'm asking that you'd meet every financial need that this radio station has to keep it going like it is. And we'll sure enough thank you for that. For the request that just came in, I know Emily was saying something about the nursing homes, and she was also saying something about a procedure that she's going through this next week. And, Lord, you know all about this, and we're just asking for your sweet will, for you to do according to your own sweet will, accordingly in her heart and her life. And I'm asking that you just give good results on this test that she's got to go through. And then Brother Ken is still asking you for a bus for their ministry to be able to get out and get into the blind camps where they can take the gospel to them. And Ken knows a good bit about being blind because he is blind now. And so we're just asking that you'd meet that need also. Now be with us this night as I preach the Word of God. I would plead with you that you just give me clear thoughts and clarity of mind and just help me to be able to preach in such a way that everybody that hears me will understand exactly what's being said. We love you, Lord, with all of our hearts. And it's only because you love us with all of your hearts. You taught us how to love first. So we're asking now you just be with us, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Brother Ken has told you in the past few weeks, how I think I'd been 9 weeks on the fact of you must be born again. And so I was just praying this last week, and the Lord just instructed me to go ahead and begin to instruct those that are listening about what to do when you have been born again. And so this night I'm going to begin a series of messages on growing up in grace. That's a pretty good subject to fall into, to be honest with you. Growing up in grace. I'm taking my text this week out of 2 Peter chapter 3. And the last verse of that chapter, verse 18, and this is what Peter wrote. He said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let me read that one more time. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. That's a pretty good way for Peter to end his second epistle, I think. He ends it with an amen, and that's just a good way to end up with everything, I think. So he's talking to us here about growing up. He said, grow up in grace. Growing as a child of God is much like growing as a child. I'm reminded of each of our four children that the Lord gave my wife and I when they were first born. Their mama and daddy did not want any of them to stay the same size that they were when they took their first breath. Our last one, our youngest son, his name is Samuel. Somehow or another, he got off on this being called Sam, and that's not even a name according to the Word of God. His name is Samuel, and he is a pastor of a church not too awful far away from where we're at. But I was right there, and the doctor was late, and I thought I was going to have to deliver him. I could have done it. But just about the time that he was coming, the doc came running in the room and had just scrubbed his hands, got his hands all cleaned up, and turned and stepped over there as Samuel was coming into this world. I saw Samuel when he took his first breath, and he only weighed 7 pounds and something, I think. And his mother and I are both glad now, after 40 years, I think he's 40 years old now, we're sure glad that he weighs a whole lot more than 7 pounds today. Amen. You see, that's the purpose of having children. We have children to help them to grow up. And that's the purpose of God. God has children, and he wants each one of us to grow up. But you see, the Lord doesn't want any of us to stay in our baby stage after we've been born again. He wants us to grow up. You know what I mean? Grow up, people. That's the thing you do with your Christian life. You grow up because we're told here, Peter told us, that we're to grow in the grace of God. Now, he wants us to grow in grace. What does the term grace mean to the born-again child of God? Well, I think I can help us just a little bit here. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9 says this, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's how we come to know Christ, through grace. And we're to grow up in this grace. This grace is where we were birthed into the family of God. We were born again, as I've been saying the last few weeks. We were born again. And now that we're born again, we know Christ is our Lord and Savior. Now we've got the purpose of growing up. We can't just stay in that baby stage. Oh, listen. I mean, there is love in our hearts. There's devotion now towards the Lord because we have been born into God's family. I don't remember anything about being born into my dad's family. I was 10 pounds when I was born. My mother always said I was half grown when I first come into this world. Well, I don't know about that. I think I wasn't quite half grown. I mean, I weigh a little more than 20 pounds today. Amen. But you see, we're talking about the fact of what grace means to the born-again child of God. That is where we were birthed into the family of God. And when we were birthed into the family of God, that gives us a good bit of joy, and it gives us a good bit of stability in our hearts, knowing that we have been born again. I dealt with that for several weeks. But now it's time to grow up in grace. So to grow in grace means proper growing will take place in our faith, our meekness, our gentleness, our patience, our forgiving manner. All of these have changed now that we've been born again. Every one of these are things inside of us, and since we've been born again, each one of these things have changed. Oh, listen to me. We know what it's like to have faith now. We know what it's like to believe God. We know that. And if you've been saved very long at all, you know what it's like to have the Lord answer some prayers that you prayed. Well, that's what the Lord did when we first trusted Christ. He answered our prayer then and birthed us into his family. You see, to grow in grace means proper growing will take place. Our faith and our meekness and our gentleness, our patience, our forgiving manner. Oh, listen to me. Our forgiving manner, all are going to be going through a change. You see, all of a sudden, now that we've been birthed into the family of God, we've been born again into a family like no other family in this world. No other family is like God's family, because God's family is a very particular family. That's exactly right. Now listen, to grow in grace means proper growing will take place. If you trusted Christ and you prayed and asked the Lord to come into your heart and to forgive you of your sin and to save your soul, then you're going to have to start growing now. You can't stay in that baby stage. This Bible that we use has a good bit to talk about those that are still in a baby stage. Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, there's many other things that I would like to teach you, but you're still in a baby stage. I can't teach you, give you any kind of meat, because you still have to have some milk. Well, I remember when our children started getting off the milk. They started growing up. I remember when they took their first piece of meat. And they chewed it, and they chewed it, and they chewed it, and they chewed it. And they finally swallowed it. What was happening? They were growing up. They were growing up. All of our children were married, but none of them are living at the house any longer. Our oldest son was 28 years old before he got married. He was still eating off of mom and daddy's table. Amen. He was still living at the house until he got married. Well, you see, that's what it's like to grow in grace, because there's many a change that takes place within our hearts. And those changes come through in our faith. We're going to believe the Lord a whole lot better than what we ever could have before. In our meekness, and meekness is not a weakness. Meekness is a strength that we have never known anything else about until God saves us. And then we become a meek person. And then our gentleness, that's gone through a change. There is some gentleness about us. We know how to be gentle around people. And then our patience. Oh, hello. All of us who have been born again know what it's like to be short on patience. Yes, we do. We know what it's like to try to answer our prayer before God answers our prayer. We know what it's like. We know what it's like to sit around and say, oh, I wish this would just happen now. We wish to no end at all. You see, when we trusted Christ to save us, our patience fell into place also. And James, in the first chapter of James, teaches us a whole lot about patience. Patience comes through trial and tribulation. That's how we learn patience. Oh, my soul. And then our forgiving. Hello, don't get quiet on me. Our forgiving has changed. We have a forgiving about us. We don't hold anything against everybody like what we did before God saved us. We don't do that. But you see, our faith will grow. We will believe God that will meet every need that we have. We will see the Lord use us around our old crowd, the old crowd. The old crowd is that crowd of lost people that we used to run with. And we'll see God using us if they'll stop long enough around us, because they really don't want to be around us anymore, because we're different than what they are now. We've been saved. We've been born again. Amen. But we can still witness to them. We sure can. You see, meekness is not weakness. It's a strength we've never had before. Meekness is a mild mannerism which has never been a part of us. To grow in grace means our love for God will grow quickly. We don't have to try and love God. No, 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 no. If we've been born again by the grace of God, we fell in love with God right there on that spot, and that love has been growing ever since. This knowledge that's spoken of here, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, let me read it to you one more time. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This knowledge that we're talking about here means that we who are born again are brought to know Jesus as our own Lord and Savior. There's much to learn about our Lord and Savior. God's Spirit resides in your heart and in my heart. If we've trusted Christ, if we've been born into the family of God, the Spirit of God resides in my heart. He lives in your heart also, and has brought us to know that we belong to God. We read this verse in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 4. Listen to it. It says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. God's Spirit resides in our hearts and has brought us to know that we belong to God. I am God's property. If you've trusted Christ to save you, you are God's property. Oh, listen to me. There's a whole lot for you and I to learn from this verse of Scripture, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Let me read it to you again. But grow in grace. Grow in grace. Grace. How do we grow in grace? When we've been born again, when we've trusted Christ to save us, we know that he has forgiven us of every sin that we've ever had, we've ever been guilty of. There's a place in us that's going to start growing, and it's going to start growing in God's grace. God's grace is a marvelous grace. God's grace never holds anything against me or against you. Never, never. When we've got sin in our lives and it needs to be forgiven, God doesn't hold anything against us. We short ourselves from a whole lot of blessings, but God's not holding anything against us. God is still loving us, and God still is convicting our hearts and bringing us to the point where we will repent of that sin and come back in full fellowship to him. God doesn't hold anything against us. No, no. You see, because we who are born again know that we belong to Christ, there is a great peace upon our sin-sick soul. Let me say that again. Because we who are born again know we belong to Christ, there is a great peace that has fallen upon our sin-laden, our sin-sick soul. And we are anxious to go tell others about such peace that everyone can have. It's a personal possession that everyone can have. But we only get it through the conviction power of God. We only get it when we bow our heads and bow our hearts and trust Christ to save us. That's what we've been through for the last 9 weeks. Amen. We've been through that, being born again. Now that we're born again, we need to start growing up. That's what I'm talking about. The means of growing in grace must be exercise. You see, the meaning to grow in grace, what in the world does that mean to us? Well, Paul, in the book of Romans in chapter 12, listen to what he said. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath to every soul, hath given to every man the measure of faith. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Every man, woman, teenager, boy, girl, every one of us that's trusted Christ to be our Savior and our Lord, we have been given a measure of faith. Did you hear me? Every one of us has been given a measure of faith. What are we going to do with this measure of faith? Well, we're going to start using it. And the more that we use this measure of faith, the more it's going to grow. Oh, listen to me now. The more we use it, the more it's going to grow. We who are born again are not dead. We are very much alive. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. We sure were. We were headed for hell, and we were considered dead. That's what the Bible says about us. But when we trusted Christ to save us, all of a sudden, we have become alive. Amen. There is a hope within my heart. And those of you that have trusted Christ to save you, there's a hope within your heart. And that hope is we're going to grow in our grace. We're going to grow and become more like Jesus Christ every day of our life. Oh, the means of growing in grace must be exercised. Our ways shall be committed unto God. Listen to me. We're talking about growing up in grace now. Our ways shall be committed unto God. We're going to live according to the will of God. Not according to the will of me, not according to the will of your neighbor, not according to the will of your husband or your wife. We're going to live according to the will of God. Oh, the more we trust God, the more we trust Christ, the stronger our faith will grow. This means we will be reading the Word of God every day, and we'll be studying the Word of God every day, every day, every day. We'll be doing that because this is where we're going to get the food that our soul needs, from the pages of the Word of God. Oh, this means Bible study. This means reading the Word of God every day, every day. There shall be many obstacles in our Christian living. Oh, my soul. I have been in the family of God for some well over 60 years. I can tell you a whole lot about what I'm about to tell you here. There are many obstacles in the Christian life. Every Christian runs into these obstacles. And the first and main one is right here in me. It's right there in you. That's the first obstacle that I ran into was the will of God. God said, I want you to go such and such a place. And I said, oh, no, not me. I ain't going over there. I don't want to go over there. No, I don't think I need to go over there. And there was that obstacle right there, obstacle in me. And there'll be an obstacle in you. If you want to argue with God, there's your first obstacle right there. The devil will come by to tempt you, to try and weaken you, which if you listen just for a moment to him, you will know very quickly that he is a loser. He is worse than those that try to run America today. They try to stand and give us all these promises that they want to do, and not the first one of them will carry out on any promise that they ever said they're going to do. Amen. Amen. That's just how it is. That's how it is here in America. It may be the same way in the country that you live. I don't know. But you see, the devil will come by to tempt you. He came by to tempt me. He still comes by to tempt me. After being in the family of God over 60 years, the devil still comes by to try and tempt me, to try and throw something in my way to get me off from following the will of God. He does it all the time. No, he doesn't get away with it anymore. No, he sure doesn't. You see, Satan will make you afraid to even speak to those around you about their need to repent. Oh, listen. The devil will come by to tempt you, to weaken you. And if you listen for just a minute, you're going to know he's a loser. But all he's trying to do is put fear in your heart to close your mouth when you try to talk to your friends about what's happened to you. Every one of us that's been born again, every one of us can tell anybody, anywhere, how they can come to know Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior. All we have to do is tell them what happened to us. I've done that for years. I've stopped sinners along the way, and they didn't know Christ. And I would say to them, wouldn't you like to know Christ? I don't think I can, they would say. And I would say back to them, oh, but you can. I used to think that same thing. And I would tell them exactly how God had dealt with me and how God had brought me to the conviction and how God had brought me to a place where I was willing to bow and plead with him to forgive me of my sin and to save me. And you know, when they hear me say that, many of them have stopped and they've done the same thing right there. They've done the same thing. And when they get up, I know that there's been something that's happened to them. I can tell just by the way that they're looking, the way they're acting. Oh, listen, we can win in this battle over the devil. We can win. Hebrews chapter 12, first couple of verses says this. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, what are these cloud of witnesses? These are those that have lived before us and have proved that we can get on through this and do it in a place where we can win for the Lord. Listen to the rest of this now. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, my soul. Jesus knew what he was going to go through when he came to this earth. He knew what he was going to have to go through. He knew that he was going to have to pay my sin debt. He knew that. He knew that when he was just a child, that he had been born to die. He was going to die for the sins of every person that's ever been conceived. Amen. Amen. You see, we can win over the devil. Let me give you a couple more verses. Listen to James, how he said this in chapter 4. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Whoa. That was James chapter 4, verse number 7. Let me read it to you again. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What's that mean? That means that there can be a time any day of the week that you can submit yourselves unto the Lord. And when the devil comes by to try and get you going the other way, just resist him. Stay with the Lord, and it won't be long. And the devil is going to have to run away from you. That's what it said. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. In other words, he's not going to spend any time at all getting away from you. He's going to know he's got to get out of there right now. Amen. Oh, draw nigh to God, verse number 8 says, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Oh, my soul, we can win in this battle over the devil. I just read two verses to explain to you exactly how we can do it. Let me read them again. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Why? Because that's the way that we win over this devil. Amen. We can't do it in our own power. No, no. He'll chew us a little bit of pieces and spit us out. But he can't do that when we've submitted ourselves unto the Lord. Submit yourselves unto the Lord. Resist the devil, and he will flee. He will run from you. Wow. When we learn the truths found in 2 Peter 3:18, we indeed shall have the sweet peace that that sweet peace that cannot be explained. Have you ever heard that? Sweet peace that cannot be explained. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says this. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Oh, listen to verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There is a way we can win this battle when we're growing in grace. We can do it, people. Listen to me. We can do it. It's not always easy. I've got a message that I preached some time back. I entitled it, It's Not Always Easy to Get Close to Jesus. And I won't even try to get into that, but I preached a message, and there was four men that had an awful time trying to get close to Jesus, and they had to come through the roof in order to get this feller close to Jesus. Oh, listen. Listen to me. There is a peace that passes all understanding. That peace is what I just read. And verse number 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, that's not all we're going to know. After we've been born again, there's something else that we're going to know. We've never known it before, could not possibly have known it before. But we're going to know some real joy, real joy. But this joy has a price tag to it. Listen to what I'm going to listen to you. Listen to this. I'm going to read this verse of scripture to you in 1 Peter chapter number 1. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Wow. The only ones in this world that can understand this peace and this joy that I just read to you about are you and I that have been born again, been born into the family of God. We know that our sins have been forgiven from us. We're washed clean. Our sins have been taken away from us as far as the east is from the west. And the east and the west never have a point where they come together. Never. The north and the south is different. But the east and the west, they never come to a point where they cross. Never. And that's how far our sins are taken away from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's what the Word of God says. Oh, listen to me. Listen to me. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. That was Peter in the last verse of the second epistle that he wrote that we have a copy of in the Authorized Version. That's the last verse that he wrote. And he ended it with an amen. I'd have to say he must have been a good Baptist, amen. Because we Baptists use that word amen a whole lot, that's for sure. But you see, I'm talking to you about growing up. Now that we know that we've been born again, now it's time for us to grow. And that growing time is going to be a whole lot just like it was when we were growing up as children. There's going to be times when we're going to run into something. We're going to have a broke finger. We're going to break a fingernail off. We're going to have something. It's going to be painful. And we're going to stop. We're going to have to cry. We're going to have to just get some doctrine done. We're going to have to stop what we've been doing. And we're going to have to just quit doing that foolishness because it hurts us. And that's how we learn how to grow up as an individual. We learn that there's some things we just cannot handle. We cannot touch them because they're bad business to us. That's how it is after God has saved us and after God has birthed us into his family. We learn very quickly that there's certain things that we cannot go back to. We cannot even touch them. We can't even think about them because there's going to be nothing but trouble for us because that's how it used to be. But now that God has saved us, we have a sin record that's been taken away from us, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're clean. We have a clean record before the Lord now. And now it's time to start growing. And as we grow, yes, as a Christian, as one that's been birthed into the family of God, yes, we're going to run into some hurts along the way. But the Spirit of God will be there to help us, to pick us up. He'll be there to brush us off. He'll be there to just put that calmness to our heart. He'll be there for that because we've been born into the family of God. And we have the Spirit of God that lives within us. And I'll tell you what, it's just been good for me to just get off the subject of you must be born again and onto the subject of growing up in grace. And we'll be on this subject for a few weeks. And I would hope and pray that you would listen to what God is saying to you and that you would grow in grace, that you would grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would listen to me and that you would take these words and hide them in your heart, and pray for us. We've got to have prayer support. That's the only way that we can keep going. Amen and amen. Well, listen, if the Lord has touched your heart and you'd like to just drop us a note, I will surely appreciate that. I'll give you our address one more time. 1122, it's 1122 Church Street. That's Waycross, Waycross, one word, Waycross, Georgia, 31501, and we're here in America. So just drop us a note. I would love to hear from you, and it would be an encouragement to me for you to just drop me a note and just encourage me to keep on keeping on. That's exactly how it is that we keep things going in the Christian family. We're there to encourage each other. Somebody has to encourage us, and the devil's young and sure ain't going to encourage us. It has to be coming from God's people. And so that's what I'm waiting on. I'm waiting to hear from you. If you've trusted Christ to save you from listening to me in the past weeks, I want to hear from you. I want to hear you. Tell me about it. And I want to put your name on our prayer list so that we can pray for you every day. That's what I want to do. And if you've learned something today and the Lord has touched you and you know that he's helped you again, I would sure like to listen to you, read from something from you, and just it would be such an encouragement to me. So just drop us a note, 1122 Church Street, Waycross, Georgia, USA. and we would love to hear from you. And Brother Cam, you didn't give us any kind of music there as I was getting done, but that's all right. You'll get on.
I was waiting for you so that you could go ahead and I've got the song ready, and I'll start that now, and you can go ahead and give an invitation over it.
All right. You go ahead and do that then. Yes, tempted and tried. We're all going to be tempted and tried as a child of God. But all of us can come out a victor, that's for sure. And if you have something that you would like for me to pray for, I would wish that you would drop me a note so that I can put that on our prayer board here where we know how to pray for you. That's 1122 Church Street, way across Georgia, right here in America, 31501. Lord, I'm asking now, you just help us, that you touch our hearts, and that you just do for us what only you can, and just minister unto us, and strengthen us. That's what happens to our children. All of our children are grown up, and they've moved out. They're on their own. But they're going, a lot of things that they're doing, they're going by how they were trained right here at the house. Their mama trained them, their daddy trained them, and they're on their own now. They're out there practicing what they were taught here at the house. And that's how it is in the Christian life, and we know that, Lord. We're supposed to do as you teach us to do, and as you'd have us to do as we grow up, being a child of God. So thank you so much for all that you do for us this night, and help somebody to just drop me a note. It'll be such an encouragement to me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Right. That was a good message there, Brother Quick. And the one scripture you brought up, Hebrews chapter 12, and you were taught about Samuel, I think he probably would remember the days, and you remember the days when I was down there in Waycross myself, and he was an apprentice in my shop, lawnmower, bicycle, and wheelchair shop. And
okay.
He would be surprised to see the bicycle that, or in this case, is a big tricycle that I have. And it kind of reminded me, that scripture reminded me of, now, this tricycle, Brother Quick, we've got it geared to haul loads. We hook a trailer behind it, and we pull and haul loads as a volunteer hauling service, me and Emily. okay? And
okay.
Now, the thing is, that thing is geared to pull a load. But if we were to hook the same trailer behind an 18-speed and put the 18-speed in 18th gear, never 18-speed would never handle it. The person would never even be able to pull the trailer.
Right.
No, we don't have much speed, but as God said, if we put away the weight of the sin, kind of reminds me of this, put away the weight of sin, we can run the race. See, that's why, and most people don't see that. Oh, we don't go very fast on our rig, but we got pulling power.
There you go.
So, all right, Ruthie, you want to go check the microphone and see if anybody's got any questions for us?
Okay.
Give her a few moments, everybody. We're going to open your mics and see if there's any questions or comments for Brother Quick tonight. But, yeah, that did remind me of that when you were talking about that because, yeah, with sin, when you get laden down with sin, you can't expect to run the race. You get slowed down. Get slowed down big time. And it reminded me of when I was at the blind school, track and field, in order to get us to practice and get us to be able to run faster, our coach would hook a big harness around us and put a sled behind us with weight and make us pull it. And then that way, when we were actually running a race with no weight behind us, we'd be able to fly.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. And he, trust me, he would weigh you down on that sled. He'd load it down pretty heavy, depending on how strong your legs were, and have you run and practice that way. Okay, who do we got with us, Ruth?
Well, we have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you, Sister Emily, of course, Brother Quick, and just little old me.
Okay, Emily, do you got any questions or comments?
No questions, but it was a good message, Brother Quick.
Thank you, sis.
All right.
You know what I was doing while you were giving the message?
What was you doing?
Throwing two pans of chicken in the oven.
I thought I could smell something.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. We'll have to, me and Ruth will have to go over there and raid.
There you go.
Yeah.
Brother Quick. Hey, Brother Quick.
Have a Baptist eating meeting.
Okay.
Did Missionary Ken bother to tell you how he was being so bad in Walmart yesterday?
He didn't say a word.
He was being really bad. He was picking on me all the way through the store, making little comments, had me laughing so hard I almost had to say, Kenneth, we got to stop and go to the bathroom.
Yeah, see what it is, Brother Quick. Because of my wife's bad arthritis in her legs and stuff, we have Emily help us do the shopping, okay? So she takes me through the store.
Yeah.
My wife and I write up a list, and then Emily takes me through the store, okay?
All right.
And Walmart seems to have this bent for changing around their aisles every couple of months and makes it a challenge, and we always have to jump around the list. It takes quite a while, but we have fun trying to get this list done. And so I was picking on Emily because she was talking about her birthday when it was her birthday while we were going through Walmart doing the grocery shopping, and she'd be talking to the people that like the ladies that would have little young children, some that were four or five or two or whatever, and when she's talking to him, saying that she had these little five-year-olds. I said, well, at least, I said, but Emily here, she's in her terrible twos.
Yeah, and then he made a crack, and as this one lady went by, brother, quick, I looked over at him. I said, Pastor, you keep it up, I'm going to whoop you.
And I said, yep, see, there's proof that she's in her terrible twos. Yep, that's proof she was in the terrible twos.
Brother Quick, I don't know this lady's name. I saw her when we went down the pop and juice aisle yesterday. But God knows who she is. She had a child, 5 years old. You've seen what they call a stroller wheelchair that reclines.
Yes.
This young child at 5 years old, unable to speak, unable to walk, and I believe the child was even blind. But it just brought back to me what I went through with my son. And my son is now 29 years old, up walking, talking, carrying on, goofing off, just like any ordinary child, even though he's delayed and he has the mild Down syndrome, he's still ornery as a normal child.
Uh-huh.
And if my cat over here, though, when I'm going to bit him. I got a kitty over here trying to bite my foot.
Well, also, Brother Quick, you're just going to have to remind Samuel that I was doing a little reminiscing on the show about him and me with the shop and him doing an apprentice thing and the times when he was teaching me how to play guitar.
Oh, right.
Right?
And by the way, Brother Quick, he also told me the story about the time that he didn't open the shop on time and you got after him saying that if his sign said a certain time, he was supposed to be open at that time, and by him not opening on time, he was lying to the people.
Yeah, you remember getting after me on that one?
Oh, no, Ken, you know, I don't want to have to say that. I remember that kind of stuff. No.
Yeah, it was true. But you know what, Brother Quick? Ever since then, I've always been punctual, even like with the radio show. I've always been punctual. Nobody could say that I've ever started a show on time or anything like that. You taught me a valuable lesson.
It's always you. If we've been on the phone together, Ken, you'd say, hey, let's cut it. We got X amount of minutes. I got to get in there, get the board up, and then we got X amount of minutes to call in.
Right, because I learned a valuable – to me, I learned a valuable lesson back then, and I treat it as an important thing to be on time.
Right.
So, I just want you to know, even though she's mentioning it, the truth is, I learned a valuable lesson back then.
All right.
So, all right. Well, why don't we get ready to get out of here? But I do want to remind, first of all, the folks, if they would like to keep the shows just like this one on the air, the Success Radio Network, you've got two options of how to donate. First off, you could go to paypal.com, paypal.com on the internet, and you type in the email address 6i6@gmail.com, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. Or if you're a Cash App user, you enter in $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X, EYES, digit 2, digit 4. And in both cases, you enter in the dollar amount of your love gift. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And we know that God will bless you for your gift. Amen. And then, of course, tomorrow we've got the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show, Bible College on the Air with no homework. So you want to check that out, 9 p.m. tomorrow. And then open programming on Saturday. Sunday, the Sunday Gospel Show, which happens at 1 p.m. Eastern here. Then, of course, Monday is Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Tuesday, the Word of the King. He's vastly improved that program, so you'll want to check that out. Tuesday at 8 p.m. And then, of course, Wednesday, Bible study at 7 p.m. And then back to the Jumbo Braille program again next Thursday at 9 p.m. And we'll have Brother Quick with us next week. So be sure to check us out for all this great programming only here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. So for Brother Quick, Brother Six Eyes, and all the gang here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, we want to say God bless, good night, and we'll have a catching you tomorrow here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. God bless everybody.
God bless everyone. Have a good week.
God bless.